what we're going to be talking about tonight is the blood covenant and tithing. If you weren't here this morning, you need to get a copy of this morning's message. We talked about our blood covenant with God. It's why God cannot lie. And the Bible tells us God cannot lie. And I always wondered, you know, why can't he? Why can't he? It's not that he chooses not to. He can't because of the blood covenant. And because of that blood covenant, that is why he must do what he said he would do in the Bible. And I told you this morning, you know, that we call this the Old Testament and the New Testament. But if you go back and look at that, those words, it's actually Old Covenant and New Covenant. And God even dealt with me more directly on that today. This is actually the Blood Covenant book. So we could call it the Old Blood Covenant and the New Blood Covenant. And again, we don't, as Christians, we don't like to talk about those gory things like blood. But folks, to us as Christians, it's vital. Everything in that book, from Genesis to Revelation, is all about the blood covenant. So it's very, very, very important to us. So tonight I want us to look at God's provision from the perspective of the blood covenant. God has made some amazing promises to us. He has gone so far as to obligate himself to us if we are obedient to his word. Now, there's a lot of different scriptures I could go to. I'm going to give you three of those tonight. And if you want to write these down and look them up later and study them, I encourage you to do so. But as we go through here, remember that God has obligated himself to you. But again, you have to do your part. You have to be obedient. And you have to do what he said. In Malachi 3:10, a very familiar passage of scripture on tithing, God said, "Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse." Let's stop right there. I had somebody ask me the other day, "How much is a tithe?" I said, "Well, a tithe is 10% of your, is it gross income, what they take out before taxes? It's 10% of what you make before they take out taxes." And I heard somebody say, "Well, one time, can I tithe on after taxes?" I said, "Well, do they tax you on your after taxes, or do they tax you on what you make?" They said, "Well, they tax me on what I make." I said, "Well, God is not taxing you per se, but the tithe is 10% on what you make." So it says, bring all the tithe. So we're talking about bringing 10% of your income. It says, bring it into the storehouse or to the local church, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord. God said, prove me. I will prove myself to you that I am obligated to you, and I will do what I said I would do. But you are going to have to do your part and bring all of the tithe into the storehouse. And he says, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the window of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, give you a little bit of background here. Paul is talking to the church in Philippi. They had been on a regular basis supporting his ministry. In fact, he said, when nobody else was giving, you were giving. You were supporting the ministry. You were taking care of the ministry of God. And then he gets down to verse 19, and he says, because of that, my God shall supply all your need. Did you notice the correlation? We are to bring all of our tithes, but God promises to meet all of our need according to the stock market. According to the latest government bailout. According to your checkbook. Man, if they're going to do it according to my checkbook, they're in trouble. That's why you ought to be glad that it says according to God's riches in Christ Jesus. God is more than able to take care of our needs if we'll do our part. Luke chapter 6. In verse 38, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet withal it shall be measured to you again. I used to just kind of skim over that. But I want you to picture what's going on here. Picture somebody with a bushel basket. If they just filled it up, that'd be a good measure, wouldn't it? But he didn't say just good measure. He said good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and still running over. He's compacting it as much as possible, and he says with the same measure that you give, it's going to be measured back to you. You ever heard the old saying, you can't outgive God? You can't outgive God. I've told you folks many times about a couple up in Prairie Grove that Rick and Lisa knows very well, Mike and Mariana Traylor. They have literally tried to outgive God. Can't do it. And I know several other people and several here that have, you haven't intentionally just tried to outgive God, but you've proven God by giving and giving and giving. And the more you give, isn't it amazing? The more is given back to you because that is one of the blood covenant promises. I find that amazing. If you are obedient in all areas of your life, now you can't live just any way you want to and have God's blessings on you. You can't give just 10% of your income and live your life for the devil all week long and expect God to meet your needs. That's not how that works. You have to be right with God in every area of your life, and that's not all that difficult. If you just stay right with God, it's easy to live a righteous life with Him. But if we're obedient to God and we're working for God, I say working for God, we're righteous with God in every area of our life, and you are tithing, then God has to fulfill His word. Because of the blood covenant, He cannot lie to you. He cannot lie to you. God has obligated Himself to you. This comes as a surprise to some people, but God wants to meet your needs. God wants to bless you. If you will study the Bible everywhere from Genesis to the end, very end of Revelation, every time a person or a nation lives their life for God and is obedient to God and is giving their life for God, God blesses them. But when they quit being obedient to God and when they quit honoring Him, that's when they start getting into trouble. The nation of Israel went into captivity for 400 years because they were a disobedient people. They could have avoided that if they'd done what they knew they should have done. If you'll do your part, I can promise you, God is going to do His part. Now, I've heard some people say, well, I just can't afford to tithe. Folks, you can't afford not to tithe. If you don't tithe, you're not giving God anything to work with. You're not giving God any way to bless you financially. That's kind of like me going out in my backyard and looking around going, well, I wonder where my corn and green beans and squash and strawberries are. And the neighbor says, well, when did you plant them? I go, well, I didn't plant them, but still expecting them. That's not going to happen, is it? Yet, we don't give God any seed. We don't plant any seed. And yet we still expect God to bless us. It cannot happen. It's seed time and harvest. And I promise you this. If you understand the blood covenant, you would give all you could to the church and then some. And you're not necessarily going to be giving to get, you're going to be giving because you want to bless God and because you want to honor God, but you also are going to know that by your giving, God is going to meet your need. Did you notice when the widow put in her two mites? Jesus didn't jump all over her, did He? What do you think you're doing? That's all you have left. And from our standpoint, we think, she gave everything she had, she's going to starve. Not if you know the blood covenant, there's no way that lady was going to starve. I can promise you in some way, whether it was the neighbors bringing food over, the ravens bringing food over, manna falling out of heaven, some way that lady's needs were met. I can guarantee, how can you guarantee that? Because it doesn't say it in the Bible, God cannot lie. God cannot lie. If you give, it's going to be given back to you. If you sow the seeds, God says that he will meet all of our needs. Did she have a need at that point? Absolutely. So according to God's word, he met her need. And I can't prove how much he met them, but I can, in my own mind, think she was overwhelmed the way God met her need. Overwhelmed the way God met her needs. And again, going back to Mike and Marianna, they gave and gave and gave when they couldn't afford to give, technically, from the normal standpoint. But God doubled their business in one day. That was about 7 or 8 years ago. And Mike called me and he said, "You'll never believe what just happened." I said, "Well, yeah, I believe it. What happened?" And he told me the circumstances and he said, "Our business doubled." And they already had a big business. It doubled in one day. Were they doing it to get double business? No, they were doing it to honor God. They were doing it because they loved God, wanted to help God, help God's people. And God took care of them. It's been proven that only about 13% of the regular attendees tithe. Now, folks, let me stop right here. That in itself proves how little we understand the blood covenant. If we understood the blood covenant, we would understand that all that is ours is now God's. It's not your money. It's his money. And he's asking for just 10% of his money. And if you understand that he is going to take on your finances and he's going to take over on your challenges and your enemies and all the situations around you because you are now in blood covenant, you would give. Nothing could stop you from giving if you really understood the blood covenant. But with only 13% of the people tithing, that tells me we just don't understand it. You know, we believe a heathen banker when he says, "If you'll come put your money in my bank, I'm going to pay you interest." We believe him, don't we? But yet, when God says that he will meet our needs according to his riches, oh man, I don't know about that. I just don't know. I don't know if God can handle this situation or not. He can handle it. He won't even break a sweat. When he says that he will open up the windows of heaven, you know, we don't believe that. When he says that he will give us a harvest according to what we've sown, we don't believe that. If we did, we'd be doing what we need to. When he says that he will return to us, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, if we believed him, we would do it. No wonder we're not being blessed. We're not doing what God's word tells us to do. And I believe here at Centerpoint, it's higher than 13%, but it's not 100%. I sat down one day, and this was years ago, and kind of figured out what the median income was for this area, and figured out that if everybody tithes in our church, every family, I counted the number of families and spent quite a bit of time on this just to get a goal in my heart to start praying about. If everybody tithes on a regular basis on that board, it would say $4,000 a week. So I know it's not everybody. So folks, we do have room to improve. And God wants you blessed. I want you blessed. Do I want you blessed or you'll give to the church? Yes. Well, I want you blessed because you're giving to the church. The church cannot function without the tithes of the people. It's that simple. We've built everything we've got because of the tithes of the people. We do all the ministries we do because of the tithes of the people. That's God's way of operating in the church. But as we give, we're able to do more. We're able to reach out more and help more people. And therefore, God's going to bless us more. So it's a cycle. And by the way, let me say this. And I've not heard this statement here, but I want to just clarify it in case anybody has ever thought this. Tithing is not something you try. You don't try to tithe. You do it. I've heard people say, "Well, I tried that and it didn't work. You just called God a liar. Because God says, if you will tithe, I will bless you. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. I will cause your fruit not to fall off of the vine before its time. I will do all these things. I will open up the windows of heaven. You're saying, I tried that and it didn't work. You just as well stand up in front of God's face and say, God, you lied. And guess what? God cannot lie. Tithing does work because under the blood covenant, God is obligated to fulfill his word. And I can promise you, everybody in this church that is a regular tither can tell you how true that is. Every one of us have been in tight situations at one point or another in our life, and God has brought us out. Who knows how? I think I've shared this story with you before, but it's a good one. When we were up at New Sulphur, we were living 33 miles from the church. We had to get a muffler put on the car. Didn't have the money to put a muffler on the car. I think it was a muffler. Anyway, some sort of mechanical thing on the car. And it was $162 that we did not have. I was making $100 a week. Going to college full time. Diana wasn't working. Well, she was working. She's working on the farm. She wasn't bringing in a paycheck. She was working with me. So we was making together $100 a week. $162, that was a half of a month's salary that we did not have. But, of course, we had to have the car so I could go to college, so I could do the youth ministry, so we could go to church and everything else. I prayed about it, got my bank statement, and there was an extra $162 in there. Well, I called the bank and said, you know, somewhere you guys made a mistake. I didn't want to keep somebody else's money. They checked for 3 or 4 days and called me back and said, we cannot explain it. We don't have a record of it, but the $162 is yours. Even when you can't afford to, it pays to tithe. And we can give you other stories. Tithing and the giving of offerings brings God's favor and God's supernatural provision upon your life. And I like that word, supernatural. I heard somebody explain that one time as God takes his super and he puts it on your natural and makes it a done deal. In the natural, there's a lot of things we cannot do. But God, when he supernaturally intervenes, can do anything. Can do anything. But folks, not tithing not only steals from God, but it keeps you from God's favor and God's provision. I don't know about you, but I choose God's favor. I choose God's help. And this may sound like a tough statement, but based on God's word, it's absolutely true. If I have to decide between paying the electric company and paying my tithes, the tithes are coming. I can deal with the electric company. I'm not going to cheat God. And again, I can promise you God would take care of that situation. But as we close, and I preached a message here one time on the blessing of the tithe, and I don't remember for sure, but it seems like I preached either two or three messages under that umbrella. But one of the things that really stuck out in my mind from that message is that tithing is not subtraction. A lot of people, in fact, most people, think of tithing as 100 minus 10%. And they're like, I can't even live on 100%. How am I going to live on 100 minus 10? Well, it's not subtraction. Tithing is multiplication. It's 90 times God. 90 times God. God's not going to subtract from you. You never find anywhere in the Bible that God subtracts. He's all about increase. He's all about multiplication. And he has made us some amazing promises that we read earlier. But folks, it all goes back to the blood covenant. If we really understand it, and if we believe it, we're going to do what he said. And we're going to say, okay, God, you said to do this, and you said to cast all of my care over on you. I'm casting all this care over on you. I'm doing what you said. I now expect you as my blood covenant partner to do what you said you would do. And we have every right to do that. I told you this morning about the right that we have as a blood covenant partner, that everything the other partner has is now ours. If we have a need, we have every right to go to that blood covenant partner and say, I have a need. You are obligated to meet that need. And I heard somebody say one time, you can't make a demand on God. I'm not. He obligated himself. He's the one that said, I will do this. That's not making a demand on God. That's taking him at his word. Making a demand on God is coming up with something you want him to do that's not in his word and saying, you're going to do this. Well, we're not even talking about anything close to that. We're talking about taking God at his word and living in our blood covenant rights and having that blood covenant relationship. But again, everything God has is ours. But on the other side of that coin, everything that we have is God's. And he has every right to come to you and ask you to give your entire life to him. He has every right to come to any one of us and ask you to move wherever. And under that obligation, you would need to do it. That's not just preachers. That's not just missionaries. That's anybody. He has that right. That's not just the moving. It's just giving him your every aspect of your life. But folks, I want us to see clearly tonight that our tithing is tied into the blood covenant just as much as anything else is in the Bible. Father, the more that I study it, the deeper revelation that I get of the blood covenant, the more I thank you for what you have done for us through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we stop at the point where we know we're saved through the blood of Jesus, but it doesn't stop there. The blood sacrifice that he made, the blood covenant that you and he cut that day, covers every aspect of our life. And Father, we sing that there's power in the blood, but help us not just to sing it. Help us to know it and to believe it and to act upon it in every arena of our life, in our finances, in our relationships, in our jobs, in our health, in every arena. Help us to see clearly how important the blood covenant we have with you is in that area. And Father, there's people here tonight that are having challenges in their life. Again, whether it's financial, whether it's in their relationships, their job, health-wise, I just pray that you speak to their hearts tonight and show them the provision that you've made in your word through the blood covenant. And help them to be strong in faith, just like Abraham was, because he understood the blood covenant, and he understood his right that you were obligated to take care of him to do what you said you would do. And help us to understand, Father, that we are not making a demand of you. We're simply holding you to your word that you've already said that you would do. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.